Tonight we're going to talk about my favorite subject. It's called closing. And I think that one of the questions I'm asked often is, what is the basic secret of this thing called closing? I'll tell you what it is. It's guts. It's simply enough guts to get in there and fight for the close. But I find that you and most of the salesmen in America seem to feel that closing basically consists of showing a product, and after you've shown it, switching from one foot to another, saying, well, shall we go ahead? And that's not a close. One of the prerogatives of my profession is the fact that I know, as a personal friend, almost every sale in the United States that earns $100,000 a year or more. They're buddies of mine. And the study and understanding of these people is also a major part of my career, the great one. And the greatest common denominator among these big-time pros is the fact that they are first, last, and all closers. They've got guts. This is why they walked in the door in the first place. The first requisite of closing is your knowledge of how to close. We find again that one of the reasons you close badly is simply because you don't know enough ways to close. So tonight, I'm going to try and deliver to you a bunch of ways to close. But understand, too, that these ways to close will be of absolutely no value unless you learn them. Let me, in the next few moments, give you the most important instruction I will ever be able to give you in the field of closing. If there's anything in the world that you need to know as a closer, it's what I'm going to tell you in the next few moments. First of all, let me define for you what a closing question is. A closing question is any question you ask, the answer to which confirms the fact that he's bought. That is a closing question. Now, let me give you the critical instruction. And please get this down. Whenever you ask a closing question, whenever you ask a closing question,
shut up!
The first man that talks loses. Now, if I may, that, by the way, is from one of my records called Closing the Sale.
Let me just comment here that you heard the applause and the scream of the audience. The reason for that is almost 40 years ago, that one concept with Doug Edwards, shut up, was his signature. And all speakers, all trainers develop a signature. It's a story, it's an analogy, it's a concept they teach that audiences beg them to do. And I don't think I've ever heard a program that Doug Edwards conducted that the audience didn't beg him to do the famous shut up instruction. Twice in this program, please realize the importance of it, and I think you will love what you're going to hear next.
One of the most difficult areas of closing is the area we call trial closing. You see, we measure people you have talked to. And we find out in measuring those people that you have the salesman's disease, old diarrhea of the mouth. And endlessly, you talk past an opportunity to close. Don't be so eager to tell them. Understand the principle of asking them. Now, this is one of the finest ways we know of to test close. Has a name. It's called the assumptive tie-down. It would work this way. Let's assume for a moment that you are selling dishwashers. This would be a test or trial close. You do want your wife to have freedom from drudgery, don't you? If he says yes, he's bought, start writing. Now, the assumptive tie down always starts, you do want blank, and it always ends, don't you? Now, here's the switch on it. Let's assume you're an insurance salesman. This is another type of assumptive tie-down. Your son's education is more important than an annual premium, isn't it? If he says yes, start writing. He's bought. Now let's talk about another interesting area of closing. You get involved in this quite occasionally. It's called interim closing. If you are selling a product where there is a time lag, where there is a need to negotiate, where you cannot get one call closes, you need to understand this process called interim closing. Because every time you see a prospect, it's your obligation to get a close. You never leave without a close. Now you can, if you wish, move for these interims. So now to describe an interim to you, let's assume, for example, that you are in the process of selling a piece of electronic gear to an executive with a major firm. You've made your presentation to him, and at the end of this presentation, you agree during the presentation that he is going to bring a group of people together for your next call. You now use a group interim close. And here is what you do. You take out a piece of paper. And on this piece of paper, you say, Mr. So-and-so, now, if I understand correctly, at our next meeting, you will have Mr. and name him and write this name down on the piece of paper. You will also have at this meeting, Mr. and write this name down on the piece of paper. And who else have? And now you draw from him the names of the people who are involved in the decision. And make sure that you get them all. If an attorney is required, be sure he's there. If a banker is required, make sure he's there. Now write all these names down. And then on the bottom of the page, you write the time and the date of this next meeting. And when you have this page completely filled out, you now get up and say, thank you, sir. I'll see that your secretary makes an adequate copy of this report. Thank you. And now you leave. And on your way out, you stop at his secretary's desk, you put this in front of her, and you say, will you send a copy of this to each person involved? And send me a copy, too. Well, now what happens? They know the one, they know when, and they know where. It won't work if you ask him to do it. Believe me, I don't care how many notes he takes, if you ask him to do it, it won't get done. But if you drop this on his secretary's desk, it will. And now let's take a look at one more form of the interim close. We call this one written instruction. And it follows just about the same kind of a format. Assuming that, again, you are a businessman, and I don't care what you're involved with in a sale, before you leave from this interim presentation that you're making, you again get out the pad of paper. And you say, Mr. Jones, knowing that I have a lot of things to do for you before I see you again, allow me just to review them so that I won't forget them. With this pad, you now write down the things you have agreed to do before you see him again. Mr. Jones, I agreed that I would get a plat of this piece of property. Mr. Jones, I also agreed that I would check the tax structure for you. Mr. Jones, I agreed that, and as you say these things, you write them down. And then you say, now, Jones, you agreed that before we get together again, you would, and now you start also writing down the things that he said he would do. When you have this done, you stand up, you start moving toward the door, and you say, by the way, what is your secretary's name? And normally he'll say it's Blanche or Mabel or something, look a little startled. And you say, fine, I'll have her type a copy of this. Thank you very much. And now you walk out to the secretary again. And this time you ask her to type three copies. One for you, one for him, and who is the third copy for? The secretary. Because again, if it's on her desk, she will make sure that he does the things that you've written down. If you depend on him, he won't manage to do it. So these basically are interim closes. The secret is, don't ask for permission, do it.
Here's a group of words that I think will allow you to do the interim close and get all details in writing without being overbearing or pushy. You might say to the decision maker, Jim, because I'm so busy serving clients and the last thing I want to do, a thing we discuss, with your permission, I'd like to make a few notes and outline the details we've agreed upon so both of us will know exactly what we're agreeing to do before our next meeting. Is that okay? First of all, and then you will outline on the paper what you've agreed to do before you come back and what he or she has agreed to do. Oh, this works.
So, now the final closing. Here's where the decision is made. This is what you came for. And the closes I'm going to give you here are advanced over the closes on the first record. The first one I want to talk to you about is one of the most brutal closing devices I've ever seen in my life. This one works. It's called the executive co-op. That's the name of the close. You're in the process of final closing. Your prospect is procrastinating just a little bit. Let's assume that you're selling a product, for example, in a home. And mom and dad are not quite going along with the decision. Now you say to them, you know, I think this is what I'm facing tonight. If you actually believe that my company would do everything it could do to guarantee your proper delivery and service on this product, I think if you actually believed that we'd go all out for you, you would go along with me. And I believe that the only reason you're not going along is because you doubt it a little bit. Pardon. And now you walk to their telephone. You up their telephone and you call your boss. And after you've dialed the number, you explain who you're calling. Don't do it before. After you've dialed the number, you explain who you're calling. And when you get your boss on the phone, you say, boss, I'm with so-and-so. You remember we were talking about them this morning. They'd like to ask you a few questions. And now all you do is to hand the phone to your prospects and walk away. I tell you, it's amazing. They will sit on that telephone and hang themselves. Now, there's a danger in this close. You better be sure the boss is there. And you better be sure you've set him up for it. He won't have to do anything. All he'll do is listen. They will commit, and you simply pick up the pieces. Now there's a switch on this one, which is called the higher authority. It goes just about the same. But in this case, you take someone who is an owner of your product and satisfied with it. Now you may have to look a little far for him. But someone who you have sold hard. They believe in the product and they believe in you. And this should be someone with some prestige. A doctor, a lawyer, a famous name. A politician works sometimes. And you again set this up in advance. You lead to it this way. It's a switch on our executive co-op. I believe that the only problem I'm facing with you at this moment is the fact that you doubt that everything I've told you was real. If you knew it was true, you wouldn't hesitate for a moment, would you? pardon me a moment, sir, and now get up and again go to the phone. Now you call your higher authority, and while it's ringing, you now explain who you're calling. Dr. So-and-so. And you get Dr. So-and-so, and you say, Dr. So-and-so, I am here with. Explain who you're with. They have some questions they want to ask you. Would you talk to them for a moment, please? Again, same thing. Hand them the phone and walk away. That's all there is to it. Now, these are two great closes. But let me tell you something. The moment you chicken and say, may I use your phone, you... But again, be sure they're there. Because if they aren't there, you're in deep trouble. The most powerful single closing method that exists in the field of selling is a method which is used by all of the big-time pros, without exception. It's called negative closing. Now, I don't know if you are aware of how many times you have been nailed by a negative close. But the process of negative closing is quite simple. If you doubt your prospect's ability to do something, he tends to do it just to prove that you're wrong. For instance, one of the sharp ways that negative closing can be used is in the real estate industry. You set this up while you are showing homes. And you set it up by beginning to create a doubt in these. And as soon as they begin to get warm, you move in on it. By saying, you know, one of the biggest problems we have in the field of providing homes to people like you is the problem of getting them qualified. And we have amazing things happen. Why, just the other day, I had someone with an income of over $20,000 a year. They looked good as gold to me. But when we applied for that financing, we were told no. And these people were horrified. They said their credit was, didn't make any difference. You run into pretty weird things once in a while. Now, with this as a premise, a little later on in your presentation, or when you're ready to start closing it, you now move on them. As soon as they are warm, you start backing off by saying, by the way, do you know whether or not you could qualify for this home if you wanted it? Maybe you'd better not get too interested at this moment until we find out whether or not you could own it, even if you wanted it. Let's not let your wife get her hopes too high. Let's not let you get your hopes too high until we find out that you could have it if you did want it. What do you think is going to happen to him? He's going to start proving to you that he can qualify. And how do you wind this up? Very simply, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's fill out the application, because once I get this filled out, I can tell you pretty well what chance we have of qualification. So now you take a financial application form and you fill it out. And if you know this business at all, but ask five questions, you know whether it's good or not, but you still fill it out completely. And after you have it totally filled out, you sit there and take a pad of paper and draw figures all over it. I don't care what kind of figures you put down there, just mark all over the pad. And be sure that there is dead silence while you mark on the pad. And after about at least 3 minutes of dead silence, scrawling figures all over this pad, you now sit back and say, yep, I think we can get it done. Now just switch this thing around and ask him to okay it here. And out of relief, he'll okay. This is closing.
In analyzing how you can adapt negative closing to your product or service, it's important you realize that the bigger the decision maker's ego, the greater their pride, the better the close works. It again is setting the premise that not everyone qualifies for this program. Not everyone is able to perform. And the last thing we want to do, interested or excited, and then have the awful or tragic awareness that we aren't qualified. And believe me, there are egos out there. It can be an individual or a corporation. It can be tangible or an intangible product. That if you set the premise they can't qualify, they'll make the decision, not only to prove you wrong, because now, if they think they can't have it, they'll desperately want.
Let's tackle another area that you may find difficult. This is another close. The name of this close is C. John. I don't know how often you've run into this, but I'm sure it's happened quite often. You make a presentation, you move in for a close, and the first thing you know, they say to you, well, it looks all right, but I'll have to see my lawyer. Or it looks all right, but I'll have to talk to my banker. Did you ever hear this? It looks all right, but I've got to talk it over with somebody. Well, whenever they say that to you, you use the C. John close. And the C. John close goes something like this. Then am I right in assuming, sir, that you are totally satisfied? There is no question in your mind at all about wanting it. The only question is whether or not your lawyer, it's legal. Is that right, sir? He says, yes, he's dead. And if he says yes, and the odds are he will, you say, fine. What is your attorney's phone number? And have him get it for you. And when he's got the attorney's phone number, you say to him, why don't you call him now? Tell him that you're totally satisfied, that all you want him to check is the legality of this thing, and make an appointment for both of us. Don't you ever let him go see that attorney alone. You'll get your throats cut. Go with him. This is C. John.
This is This Side. Please turn the tape over